Hello and welcome to episode number 325 of the Super Horror Bros podcast. I'm your host Matt, and joining me as always is my brother Mike.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
We are back with a movie that has been on our backlog for what seems like a very long time.
I know. Crazy.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about, obviously, Terrifier 2 for literally years in the news, as well as, obviously, it being sort of having its big fantasy premiere at Fright Fest, and us sadly not getting to see it there. And then since then, it's kind of had its sort of limited run in theaters, done extremely well for such a small indie movie. We'll kind of get into all that stuff. Yeah, but we've finally seen the return of Art the Clown in all of his glory. We're pretty much just going to get straight into, because there's no news this week. There was a couple of things. They're just not interesting at all. There was like that movie called Missing, just like the follow-up to Searching.
Oh yeah.
The trailer came out for that this out in January, but I watched like a minute of it and turned it off. It really didn't look that good at all, and I'm way less excited for that movie now. So yeah, there was that, and that was basically it. So I can't even be bothered to talk about that, because it was we liked the first movie. The second movie's weird because it doesn't have any continuity whatsoever to the first movie. It's just another one of those Screen Life movies. And they can be great and they can be terrible. And based upon the trailer, I'm not excited, but, hopefully the movie's still good. Plus, we're going to be seeing it pretty soon anyway. So, yeah, we'll find out very soon. It's not like we have to worry about it. But, yeah, shall we just talk about this week's film?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about Terrifier 2. So yeah, as we mentioned, the sequel, the long-awaited sequel, is finally here. Obviously, Terrifier, 2016 apparently was the release date for this one, and you know we didn't do a show on it.
I don't know whether Terrifier, like the franchise, ever truly has a release date. It's just kind of suddenly just appears.
Yeah,
you know, I kind of picture back in the day when you had like VHS stores and, you know, you'd go into them and to try to rent something, and just one day there'd be, you'd lift Bambi up and there'd be Terrifier 2 hidden behind it, you know, and you'd be like, oh shit, like they made another one, you know. And I think that's what this movie wants, just to like, you know, be, you know, not have no fanfare, just suddenly be like, hang on a second, I remember that face.
Yeah, I completely agree. That is like so in line with this movie. And I think that finding that out with like, that would be the perfect way to find out there's a Terrifier 3, that it's just out there in the ether and people suddenly start talking about it. It would be so cool. But yeah, it kind of came a sleeper hit, really, that kind of came out ultra low budget movie. The first movie's budget is $35,000, which, you know, in today's world is literally nothing. And, you know,
has James Cameron, you hear that?
You know, slowly getting this kind of fanfare. And we talked about it, obviously, we both rewatched it in recent weeks, and how it's such a strange film because it really doesn't feel like a film. to me, watching it, it felt like watching a YouTube highlight video of when you watch like a supercut of the best kills in Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And it's an hour long. And I think that's genuinely a good thing, because that's clearly what they're going for. I think as a movie, it has like so many flaws, obviously, if you try and even remotely and analytically look at it, which I just think is
on fire, like as a movie, but as a fun moments, there are so many of them.
Yeah, like it scenes just make no sense. They start and end at weird times, but there's just so much entertainment to glean from it, and especially from Art the Clown, who is this kind of brand new creation that really does feel like a horror icon that has been around for years more than he actually has been. And so the fact that he'd only ever been in one film prior to this is already surprising. But yeah, this is obviously, people have wanted this for a while. It was one of the movies that got hit hard by the pandemic, especially as an indie movie, to kind of finally get it off the ground and start shooting it, and then have to shut down due to the pandemic could have killed this project entirely. I think there's a lot of films. Like, I remember that we were talking in the news about stuff like they were going to do a new movie on, is it The Collector or The Collection? Or is it both of those titles I think they've used?
They're both correct.
Did they do a third one, or did they just do two? I can't remember.
I can't remember now. Yeah, because I've only seen two of them, I think.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do a new one. And then I remember before the pandemic, we were talking about that, and then I've not heard a peep for like 2 years. So I don't know if that just killed that movie entirely or what. But it clearly does happen. And so for them to kind of be able to reinvest and go back and actually finish this movie is that in itself a miracle. But then kind of getting this movie and obviously hearing about how long it is insane. Like, we've talked about it before. Obviously, we talk about runtimes, unfortunately, a lot, but this is definitely a case that it's warranted. Because this might be the first film we've seen this year. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like, was The Northman more than this? I don't think it was.
I don't think it was. I think it was just over 2 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, whereas this is 2 hours and 18 minutes.
Hours 17 is The Northman, according to IMDb, so done it by a minute.
And this does have a substantial scenes during the credits, so it definitely is that runtime.
Does it? Like,
obviously, The Northman ends, and I'm sure there probably is like a lot of credits, because it's a huge film, so... Yeah, this is probably the longest movie of the year, which is mind-blowing to think, considering the first movie was 86 minutes. You know, so you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. If you've waited this long, you're getting what you paid for, pretty much. You know, you're not going to feel shortchanged. But yeah, I guess that's it, really. Like, the return of Art the Clown. I would love for you to have done a plot synopsis for the first movie.
Because this one's difficult enough, let alone the first movie.
Whereas at least this one does have some sort of plot.
It's just like a clown just expecting. Like, sat at the calf, like the first movie. Just a clown sat at the calf and he got pissed off. Like, there you go. Yeah, whereas this one is kind of, you know, very plot heavy, actually, where we kind of get reintroduced to Art at the beginning of the movie. He's kind of resurrected from the morgue, which, like, I can see the name, like, in IMDb, but I didn't actually know that this character existed going into this movie, which was a nice surprise. That's why I'm being a little bit mindful of spoiling it, but like, basically he has a partner in crime that's kind of weird. She's known as the Little Pale Girl, and kind of, I didn't see her in almost any of the promotional stuff, and she was a very welcome surprise. And basically, yeah, he gets resurrected in a kind of, you know, very Friday the 13th-esque kind of, you know, way, just kind of nonsensical. Art is back. And yeah, if you haven't seen the first one, Art is basically this mute clown who is just hell-bent on killing people and having a laugh at the same time, I guess. And yeah, kind of as he's back, kind of like, it's kind of hilarious because the plot of this movie is kind of a mixture of pick a Friday the 13th movie, Halloween, and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Because we have this weird, like, he's back on Halloween night killing people. Then we get introduced to our main character, Sienna, and her brother, who are kind of coping with the apparent suicide, was it, of their dad?
Yeah.
Suicide, I think. Like, he died in a car crash, but I think it was a suicide. Either way, and they're kind of dealing with that and kind of... Sienna is then having these dreams of Art the Clown initially, and kind of she's having these dreams and straight up, like, the kind of high school scene from Nightmare on Elm Street is ripped off in this movie, with Sienna kind of having a dream sequence in a school, and kind of, you know, even like the no running in the halls and everything is used. And eventually kind of Art kind of gets involved in the real life and steps out of the dream world for Sienna, and the resurrected Art comes to wreak havoc on her and her friends. I mean, my God, I mean, that's more plot than I even dreamed of being able to talk about for Terrifier 2, having not seen the movie, you know, prior. Like, I didn't expect them to really go that hard on a plot, and especially like a plot of like a lead kind of character other than Art. You know, the amount of screen time that Sienna gets to set up this story is, you know, it's kind of outrageous, and it's kind of why this movie is as long as it is, that we kind of get what we got in the original movie in the way of Art, but then we have this giant story of Sienna and her brother and kind of her father and what happened to him and all these like weird flashbacks and different things. And it's, you know, it really does go long in the tooth with those parts in particular. I guess I'm going into my thoughts a bit here. So I guess that's the end of the plot at least. And yeah, I mean, Terrified 2, hey, we've seen it.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the Wikipedia, one of the first lines says about Damien Leone, who basically did everything with these movies. He's the writer, the director, the producer, the editor, and in charge of special effects. So this is, you know, a pretty crazy undertaking for him. But it does say that he spent 3 months writing a character-driven screenplay following criticism of the first film's perceived lack of narrative, which I thought was such a hilarious sentence. Because, like, yeah, of course that was a criticism of the first movie, but I just don't think you should have listened. Like, we have to say that, and we would have said that had we done a review on it, which we didn't.
Yeah, like, but we were saying that. Like, I said, like, yeah, the plot is nonsensical, but I had a great time, you know. That's the thing, like, this movie Terrifier 1 got a cult following. It got a cult following not through people critiquing it through the story, for people falling in love with Art and this, like, the kills, like the gore and the kills of the two movies are just like on another level, like absolute other level, really.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, I am surprised because it just, to me, that shouldn't ever have crossed his mind, you know. And I think that ultimately it did, and that's why, it's one of the many reasons why this movie's long. I think ultimately as well, like, it is a very bloated film, obviously. I think with that runtime, it was almost going to be impossible to pull off a sequel to Terrified 2 and be that long and it not feel bloated. And, like, it's obvious when you watch this movie that, like, early on, there's a dream sequence with the clown cafe, which is a great scene that I really enjoyed, like most of the scenes that I'll get into, which I actually really enjoyed. But it's just, it was a perfect example early on where I knew exactly what I was getting myself in for, where this scene is just too long. And there's multiple bits in it when he's going around on his little tricycle and it keeps going on. And then there'll be like close-ups of characters laughing and it just keeps going on. Do you know what I mean? It's like every little bit is just too long.
Well, I think as well, he figured out that his prosthetic dead bodies, even after they've like exploded, still look quite real.
Yeah.
So the amount of times we just see like an aftermath of like what Art has done for like a crazy amount of time. And I'm like, man, like, yeah, I felt like he just kind of finished a scene and was like, shit, man, this looks so real. I'm going to film it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's so true. And like you say, it does look great. And I think another thing as well is, like, because of the actual characterization of Art, he needs screen time because he's a mute character and it's all these kind of like facial expressions. Mm. And so you can't have them quickly. Like, they need to stay on screen for a considerable amount of time to land. And it does become funnier the longer he's pulling these weird faces on screen without it cutting away. So I think that there is actually, like, stylistic reasons why it needs to be a certain length when you're having this amount of content. But it is definitely the one downfall in terms of him doing everything, because I think from like a directing, definitely, and from a special effects standpoint, he's so goddamn talented. Mm-hmm. I think writing wise, obviously, he took a criticism to heart, which I don't think he should have. But as far as editing goes, that's like, it's easily the most thing you can kind of criticize the movie for, is that, yeah, he's took so, and it's I'm already
editing is the most common thing, though, that, like, the one thing that you should outsource if you're trying to do a lot of things is editing, because you can't see the wood through the trees. Like, you've created this story, you've created hours of content, and you need someone else that's not attached to it to then cut it down to for normal people to watch, not someone that's put your heart and soul into it. And I think, you know, it's so incredibly rare to see someone that can edit their own movie and be incredibly successful with it. I think you can do some of the other things and wear multiple hats, but I think that is by far the most difficult one to don when you're so involved elsewhere.
For sure. And I wish we could just normalize having multiple cuts of films, because I think this is a perfect example to where, if I'm judging this critically as a movie, this could have easily been 45 minutes shorter, and it wouldn't have lost any of the major beats. All of the things that I loved about this movie, and there's a lot, I still would have loved. And it just would have been a much more complete film had that been the version. And then you could release the quote-unquote director's cut, which would be this 2-hour, 20-minute version, which I do think would appeal to more people. I think that's why I'm so torn in that specific criticism of this film, because on one hand, we do talk about runtimes a lot, and so I can't just give this movie a pass, because it's arguably one of the most egregious ones we've ever had. And like I say, I genuinely think you could easily cut 45 minutes and it still be as enjoyable. But the flip side of that is, people have waited 6 years for the return of this character, and I think that anyone who's watching Terrifier 2, having enjoyed the first movie, isn't going to worry about having more of Art the Clown on screen, or a longer film in general. So yeah, I think that's
we're in
a spot, aren't we?
Well, I do get that, apart from the fact that there is vast chunks of this movie that are very Sienna character-driven. Because I think
scenes with her mum early on, like they're all so long, and we get it. Like, the mum's a bit of a bitch. They're all some kind of like suffering from this like overall family loss, and then there's this kind of like character that he created that she's going to become in the final act. Like, that's all you need to set up, and you can set that up so quickly.
I think it's one of them though. Like, you know, when you've got a movie like A Devil's Rejects where our villains are the lead, and you're just purely rooting for them. Like, we just want to see Art, like, kill people. Like, that's all we want from these movies. And I think, like, having this lead and having Sienna and having all this story, like, I find that, I mean, let alone judging it anyway on its own merit, but let alone, like I say, in this sort of movie, I didn't need it. I think, yeah, anything when Art is on screen was enjoyable. And I think basically, if you could slim down the rest of the movie to almost nothing, you know, you think of the first movie and it was like, oh, these two girls, they've been on a night out, they've gone to this cafe, Art starts chasing them, like, bosh. And it's like, that's all I needed. I just needed like a fancy dress Halloween party. Cool. Her brother like is there as well, whatever, you know, and then let's go, you know. And I didn't really need, because like at one point I'm like, oh, okay, so is Art their dad? I'm like, you know, why is she having these dream sequences of him? They keep talking about this dad that's gone mental, and I'm like, is he gonna like pull the mask off at one point and be like, I'm sorry, kids? Like, I honestly, I was like, what are they, you know, what is going on with that? But yeah, then suddenly, like, yeah, the Art stuff is, you know, just, you know, the kills are so imaginative and so, you know, visceral and so practical as well. Like, I haven't seen a movie in so long where it just, you know, you can tell that they were just making these crazy things and just seeing what they could do with them and seeing what works and what doesn't. And more often than not, it just looks so incredible. And, you know, that's my takeaway from this movie. I think even when, like, he just got like a Tommy gun or whatever it was and started unloading on people, even that just looks super violent and crazy. Like, you know, and I think his kind of makeup and effects work is just like just completely out of this world. You know, and I think that's the bit that this movie really does stand out on more than anything else.
Yeah, this movie so delivers. I think it over delivers on the clown. I think in those aspects, it's way better than the first movie. Like, it's every scene he's in is enjoyable because of him. And like you say, the actual practical effects in this movie are incredible. They go so much further and harder than I was expecting. And again, that's where you're kind of why there's that runtime and why this was so many years in the making, because they genuinely just put everything into this film. You know, it doesn't feel like a traditional, oh, maybe we slow down a bit because there's a lot of ideas we've got to end the quote-unquote trilogy. And I really like that they didn't think that far ahead. They just went, nah, fuck it, we're just going to put everything in this movie. And I think all of the kills, I mean, there's just so many memorable moments, but like you say, we don't see too many movies that deliver, A, the quantity of actual practical effects in this, which is on another level in terms of just body count and different ways of kills, but then more importantly, how good each and every single one of those looked, where I was continually surprised, where typically there's always that one or two moment, or there'll be one kill where you're like, oh, that's the one that was a bit of a throwaway gag, and then here's the main one that took months to kind of set up. But to me, they all felt equal in terms of like, oh, they're genuinely all brilliant. And there's clearly like the standout scene, the bedroom scene. But I think even stuff like, I thought, for me personally, I enjoyed the stuff in the Halloween store the most.
Yeah.
Because I think the bedroom stuff, whilst it's clearly going to be the most talked about scene in this movie, it just goes so hard and so far. Whereas I think the Halloween store one, to me, just really worked on so many levels. But there's so many scenes, isn't there? Like I say, the actual dream sequences as well, like the clown cafe stuff, and let alone stuff in the finale. Like, it's just all fantastic.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is that, like, when you get each kill, like, there's so many of them where he's, like, bludgeoning people, and, like, you can see, like, the actor still in there, and I'm like, man, like, how did they, like you say, the level of craft where they've gone into it, where they must, you know, have had these varying degrees of, like, smashed in skull prosthetics and keeping the real actor in there for so long. And you know, I just think it was so impressive, and it looked so good. It was a, you know, it was a technical marvel for that sort of thing. And like you say, there's definitely standouts. I liked the mask store as well. I just thought that was really well done. And I think as well, like, I love the idea of art, just like, it's Halloween. So he's just, like, dicking around, and, like, people who don't know what he is just thinks it's, like, an idiot in a clown outfit. And like, I think that's brilliant, seeing, like, them having this kind of, you know, realization when it's too late of what he actually is. Mm. You know, he's just hiding in plain sight. And, yeah, and I think as well, obviously the addition of the little pale girl, I think, like, Art himself, like, that character looks so good. Like, his makeup and the way he looks is just iconic. And it's, you know, when you think of, like, a clown, it's like, okay, we've seen a clown a million times. We've seen it. We've seen all of these movies. But Art is unique, like, the way he looks. And I think that's, like, you know, when you have these, you know, I think, you know, there's parallels to, like, Spalding and, like, say, these great cat clown characters where they do in themselves look iconic because they look different enough, and his one, you know, so terrifying. And then when he does do these little smiley faces and try to be innocent and stuff, the performance is so well to put that across and put that, you know, in this terrifying mask. And so I think that's perfection, but it was already perfection in the first movie, and like, it's still perfection in this movie. But then suddenly to introduce like little pale girl, she's brilliant. Like, she looks like just nuts every time she comes on screen. Like, every time I'm like, oh man, she's great. And like, those two together, like, I almost wish, as long as this movie was, that we had more of them two just like fucking around. Like, I wanted them just to be like playing catch with body parts and stuff for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you know? I thought she was awesome as well, and I do just wish that I was surprised that she kind of disappeared from the movie for fairly big chunks, and I don't know if that was potentially a sign of the sort of disjointed filming of this film, and kind of maybe she was a late addition and independent on obviously where, because obviously she shows up early in the movie, but then there's huge parts of the movie that she's just not prevalent at all. And I do wish that she had been more involved in the kills, because she mostly pops up in the aftermath. And like I say, it's such a good performance. It's such a great continuation of the look of Art, but in a slightly different thing. Like, I love the fact that she still has the hat to the side, but like, her hair is going through the hat is just so great. So there's all these their interactions are brilliant, and it's also just another excuse to have Art on screen and it not always be the same interactions, which is girl is terrified of Art's doing a creepy thing. Like, that's pretty much all you can do with him on screen, unless he's on his own. So to have another character to bounce off in interesting ways is awesome. But yeah, I just wish she'd have got more involved in a lot of the kills.
Definitely, definitely. I think as well, one of the best scenes of the movie was when he served the trick-or-treaters candy from a decapitated head. Yeah. Like, I just thought that was so brilliant, the way that, like, it's exactly how it would go down in real life. Like, these kids would, like, were freaked out initially, then excited. They're like, oh, it looks so real. And then, like, one of the kids was like, oh, it's all sticky. And the mum's like, don't worry, it's just fake blood, kids. Like, laughing, like, winking to Art the Clown. And he's like, what the hell? How have I pulled this off? Like, I just loved that. I thought it was such a great scene.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, there really is, like, overall, I do think this is fantastic. And I think it absolutely delivers on the sequel to Terrifier. I think ultimately, I do think this is better than the first movie, which is, you know, what pretty much all you can ask for from most sequels, let alone a sequel to Terrifier. Because I think that it has its niche audience, and so you've just got to deliver on what that audience wants. And I can't see how, if you were a fan of the first movie, I don't see how you could possibly not like this film. Mm. Because I think it's more of the same, but slightly better. Obviously, comparing the two, like, it's difficult with the runtime, because I just don't know when I'll be in the mood to watch this. And that is the one part of, like, outside of my own criticisms of runtimes, that is the one part that might genuinely, or it does genuinely bum me out, is that, like, going forward, I would much prefer to watch this film. Mm. A 2-hour-and-20 version of this film is difficult, and that's why I would be a huge advocate for two different versions, because I think, like I say, I could still get all of those same moments and those same enjoyment with such a shorter runtime. And again, I think that I'm in the minority on this occasion. Like, I genuinely think that most Terrifier fans would say, no, I want the 3-hour cut, because you're just getting more of what you love, and that's absolutely fine. But I do think that, yeah, going forward, it would slightly distract from the experience. But as a first time viewing, it wasn't too much of an issue. Like, I knew it going in, obviously, and then once I had that early cafe sequence that, to me, perfectly set the tone, where, like I mentioned, I was like, oh, okay, every scene is going to go on for too long. That's just how it is. And I almost think it's even more perfectly exemplified with the end credit sequence, which is like, most end credit sequences don't go on for like 4 minutes. But that just shows you that, like, yeah, everything they shot seems like it made it into the film. And most of it is really good. It's funny. It's gory. It, you know, you'll see things in this movie that you've genuinely never seen in a horror movie before, which I think you have to just absolutely applaud them. And I do think that my biggest takeaway, for sure, is that even if this isn't a movie that I'll typically sit down and watch because of the runtime, there's no question in my mind that Art the Clown is now one of the best horror icons ever, and certainly of this modern generation. Just even after two films now, I'm like, he's set now. You will see his face on t-shirts, on merchandise forever. And I do think that there is clearly legs in this. Like, I would be, especially, like, I did mention it at the start of the show, but this obviously had a very limited US box office run, and it made $11 million, which is incredible for an indie movie. It's very difficult to find out the budget of this movie. All of the websites say that it had a $250,000 budget, which is obviously much bigger than the first movie. However, that doesn't seem to be right, because there was an Indiegogo campaign for $50,000, which got $250,000 in donations, but that was specifically for a practical effects driven scene in the film, which turned out to, of course, be the bedroom scene. And it says before that, Leone had secured finances from private investors. So I'm like, but everyone's reporting in all of the good stories, which they should celebrate this movie making the money it did at the box office, no question about it. It's a huge success. But they all cite $250,000 as the budget. And I'm like, well, that's not true. That was for one scene. So yeah. I don't know what the budget is. Even if we say it's clearly less than $1 million, so it still made a shit ton of money, and rightfully so.
Say, but you're making minimum 10 times, you know.
Yeah, then, sure.
You know, like I say, and that's being prudent with it, I think. Yeah. I think as well, like, the more we've spoken, like, the runtime definitely should be mentioned. But actually, like you said, and I definitely feel that way, like, when I was watching the movie, I was relatively unaffected by it, because so often, even with the scenes that went on a bit, you're then like, bam, there's Art the Clown, and he's going to do something crazy, you know? And especially, like, when we had Sienna, like, at the party and all of that stuff, like, that was the juxtaposition with Art doing the trick or treating and everything.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I wasn't like super into like her stuff and her journey, because ultimately I'm like, okay, she's just going to get chucked with Art by the end of it. You know, it's just a final girl. There was nothing like, you know, special about that character. But like, that's fine, because that's what, you know, these throwback, this is a throwback to the 80s. And like, you know, that's what those movies were. And I'm okay with that. And I think, like, you know, I have nothing against her as a character. I think it did the job. But certainly, like, yeah, those Art moments that were sprinkled in there enough that yeah, I can see myself watching this movie again. It's just that, you know, it becomes more of a, you know, you have to allow the time for it more than anything. But
yeah,
but it's certainly worth it. And like you say, just the level of kills. And yeah, I can't see that this movie is the end, or like we're even close to the end of the franchise, because, you know, I think the worrying thing is when kind of we don't have like this level of craft in the kills, like when they start to become like, you know, the cheap version and the bad version, then, you know, that's when the franchise will get annoying. But, you know, the way Damien does the, you know, these practical effects, like, as long as he can keep making these movies, I'm more than happy to keep watching them.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, overall, I did think this movie was fantastic. But to piggyback on the one thing you said about Sienna, which for me is a definite criticism, is that I really liked how the first movie didn't have a traditional final girl.
Mm.
And kind of how we were focusing on these two characters that died, and then the movie kept going, and that was when you kind of realized that it was almost Psycho-esque, but except it wasn't, because it didn't change protagonist. It just revealed to itself that Art was the protagonist, and I think that was actually really cool. Whereas when we're introduced to Sienna and all of her family life, and the second they showed that drawing of her kind of creating with the wings and everything, I was like, oh, she's so obviously the final girl, and yeah, she will obviously win. And so to me, that did detract from the experience slightly, because ultimately, like, she was fine, and I'm probably more than fine. I did enjoy her character quite a bit, but like, I ultimately don't care about her. And I think it's the problem that I'd said recently, how I find Halloween to be interesting, where people spend 95% of the movie rooting for Michael Myers, and in the final 5% rooting for, yeah, Laurie. And I like how this movie did what I want a lot of those slashers to do, which they don't do, which is just focus on the killer. And so for this movie to not do that, and to now follow the traditional path that all of these others, characters have done in the past, it did lose something for me, only slightly, because I'm like, oh, Art is awesome, and I would have loved for them to just continue to say, no, Art is the main character, you're showing up to watch him kill people. And that's exactly why someone would watch a 2 hours 20 minute version of this film. But then they just go down that old path of like, nah, we, you know, it's a more traditional horror movie end, and I liked that it bucked those traditions in the first one. So yeah, that is a small criticism for me, but I still think the movie's great, and overall is better than the first movie, just because Art is so goddamn good in this. And like I say, the level of kills, there was great kills in the first one, but this movie takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah,
and was so entertaining, I think, for it. And like I say, even for a long movie, even in the scenes that are too long, they're good scenes that are too long. Like, I want to be clear about that. It doesn't make the scenes bad. You're just watching a scene going, yep, this could have ended by now, but I'm still good. Like the Clown Cafe, again, I bring up, is like, it is too long, but I loved it. Like, that whole scene is great. I love the song. I love the way he killed everyone. Like, all of that stuff is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's just so obvious that it's like, you feel like you're watching the, you know, not necessarily the first cut of a movie, but you can tell you're watching a cut of the movie where they didn't want to take anything out. And at the end of the day, I almost want to just respect it, because I'm like, yeah, you made this movie against all odds. Like, fair play. Just enjoy it. And I think most people will. I'd like to say, I think these are small problems that are more for me than they will be for most people that want to watch Terrifier 2.
Well, like, I think it's just when you start to have, you know, when we need to have a conversation about it in comparison to other movies that we see, and, you know, we're a review podcast, and you have to kind of look at it a little bit more. And I think, like, you know, so that's where we do have to pull it apart a little bit. But I think when you actually just look at what they wanted to deliver, yeah. And then the fact that, you know, and I think we spoke about this with other movies this year, like, deliver for your fan base first.
Yeah.
And I think that's such an important thing that, like, so many movies, and I think that's where, like, Halloween is, like, really, like, you know, why we do shit on it so much is, like, Halloween was made by people that didn't want to make a Halloween movie, that were like, oh, well, we kind of got the IP. And, you know, I hear people talking about Andor all the time with Star Wars, and it's like, that's made by people that clearly don't want anything to do with Star Wars. And that triggers me so much. And I think, like, when you have this IP where they're like, do you know what? We've got a dedicated fan base, and all we want to do is please them. If we get more people, great. But, like, we have to please our fan base. And that was the MO from this movie from day one. And I think that's fantastic. And it's respecting the people that got the movie made, you know, not the movie makers. That was the filmmakers got the sequel greenlit, you know, got enough behind it. And I think, like, you know, and then give back to those fans. And that's exactly what this movie did.
Yeah, it's a great celebration. We talk a lot about that and kind of the creators that we really want to support, you know, and that's why, like, Chucky has been so good to us, and these people that there's this genuine love for the thing that they're making. And that's why, like, when I watch a Saw movie now, I don't feel the love at all. Mm. I feel like it's in corporate hands at Lionsgate and is being completely mistreated. And so that is why, yeah, seeing something like Terrifier 2 come out, it fills me with joy just in the horror genre, because, yeah, I think it's made for a very specific audience that are going to absolutely love it. And I think for most people, this is like their indie horror that they love. Like, it's what I think about for PG is what I think most people will think about for Terrifier. Yeah. And so I'm so glad that it got made for those people. And I still love it as well. Just as an aside, seeing as I did bring up PG, there was an actor from Psycho Goreman in this film. Did you catch it?
I don't think so, no.
I like knew it instantly. So Luke, the boy, the brother of Mimi in Psycho Goreman, he's the boy who's like poking the possum behind the bins in the school.
Brilliant.
And I just, yeah, immediately recognized him. So yeah, this movie knows that it needed to give that shout out to PG, which is thankful. But yeah, hopefully one day I'll live in a world where, cause it is like, that is another example as well of them just catering to their audience and doing it, you know, perfectly. Obviously, like, they were extremely aggressive with what they cut, which is why I think it's such a better complete movie. But I can't. Like, that's the perfect example. If a 2.5-hour version of that movie came out, I obviously wouldn't complain. Like, because it would just be more of the thing I love. But yeah, I think when you're looking at it as, like, actually a critical movie, it is self-indulgent. There's no question about it. This is self-indulgent, and it is bloated. However, it's still ridiculously enjoyable in spite of that. Like, I think we were actually both worried. I remember when we talked about it around Fright Fest, that it would ruin the film. That we were like, man, that is shockingly long, to the point where it could ruin the actual fun of Art the Clown. And my biggest takeaway is that it absolutely didn't. And it makes me wonder, just, man, where would this movie have fell for us personally if it was tighter? Because I still come out of this thinking this is fantastic and super enjoyable, but I do just have this big criticism that is so easily avoided as well, is the thing.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, we'll do recommendations, and then we got a comment. What would you recommend people watch Terrifier 2?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think you know, both movies are a great watch, but like you said, I think this movie does deliver more on the first. You know, we get better kills and just better creativity, and with the addition of the pale girl and kind of the way that then Art can play off her, and he's much more of a rounded character in this movie as well. I think I think you'll have a great time. And to be fair, if you've not seen the first one, I mean, I think you should see them both, but you can just watch this one, you know, because it is just like, you know, when you watch the Friday the 13th movies back in the day, you know, if you hadn't seen any of them all, okay, there's this dude called Jason that's going to get resurrected at the start of the movie. He's a killer, go. You know, and it's like, that's what this is, you know, and yeah, I think it works. And yeah, I think you should definitely try to watch it if you can stomach it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I was initially going to say that, like, obviously, if you've seen the first Terrifier, you kind of know if you want to see more of it. And so in that case, it's a no brainer. If you like the first movie, you'll really like this one. But I do actually want to piggyback on what you said of, yeah, my recommendation, if you've not seen either, would be to watch Terrifier 2, because I think it is a better film. So I think that this movie does hit all of the same notes the first movie did, just better. And so I think there's also a less chance of feeling that fatigue, because you haven't just watched an 85-minute movie to then watch a 2-hour 20-minute movie, if that makes sense. So I think ultimately, yeah, I would just say Terrifier 2 is the best of it all. Like, I don't think there's anything, you know, because I only watched it like a month ago. I'm thinking, was there anything specifically about the first movie that you'd need to see? I don't think there is, because I the only thing that's great in Terrifier 1 is Art the Clown and those kills, and you get that in this movie, but it's better. So, yeah, I'd just say watch Terrifier 2. And it is mental. It is a throwback. There really isn't anything like this. You know, we've not seen anything on this level of gore. You know, like, I remember when we saw that Puppet Master movie, and it was great just to see, like, crazy kills and gore.
Yeah,
but that was like 15 minutes in a 2-hour film, whereas like this movie delivers it just constantly. It really is crazy. It's a really good achievement, I do think, overall for indie filmmaking as well. I'm really glad that this actually got, like, you know, it got its time at Fright Fest. It sadly obviously didn't get a wide release in the UK, but the fact that it did get that release in the States and people went out and supported it, because I think it was only for 3 weeks as well, so for it to make that money that it did, so good. And I think it speaks volumes that they're clearly, we're going to get more of this, like, no question about it.
I think as well, like, just a brief one, imagine how fun it would have been watching this at Fright Fest, man.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, like, yeah, on the screen, audience, oh my god,
yeah. Like, the world biggest screen, like, yeah. Or definitely in the country, and like, just that level of violence with that sort of crowd. Like, yeah. I'd imagine that crowd was going absolutely insane for it. Like, there were just so many parts that would have led to a horror crowd being vocal. You know, not just the kills, just Art and his, like I said, we wanted to see it so bad, and just scheduling didn't work out. And like, it is a shame because, you know, that and Barbarian were on the same day. Like, that was a killer final day for Fright Fest, for sure.
Yeah, this one frustrates me a lot more than Barbarian because I think they fucked it. Like, having Terrifier 2 on a Saturday night
would
blow the roof off the place. Having it on a Monday, are you kidding me? Like, come on. Like, that is awful. Like, that's just bad scheduling. But yeah, we've seen it now anyway. But yeah, we did have a comment about this movie from Cody, who says, "Hey guys, about time. I've been waiting for this episode for so long after I saw it at my local cinema. I loved this movie, everything about it. Art the Clown has become my favorite horror icon, and I can't believe how much better this is than the first film, which was also great. I also can't believe the amount of gore and kills this movie had. It made Halloween Kills look like a G-rated film. Really good. Overall, a great film. Hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. Cheers." Yeah, I'm glad, Cody, because obviously you had to unfortunately watch the Halloween films like we did, so I'm glad you got your fix that you clearly needed with a great iconic killer and great kills. Yeah, there's certainly a lot of franchises that could take notes from Terrifier, believe it or not. I mean, that's the other thing as well, like, just as a small aside, this guy Damien, for him to do this on a small budget, how there isn't multiple companies sitting on these IPs that are dormant, like, saying, "Let's sign this guy up." Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, it's a no-brainer. Yeah, they absolutely should be. They won't be because they're all fools, but like, and they'll give it to people that are shit and should just make terrible comedies. But like, this is what people should be looking at. And like I say, there's so much IP that I think he would do justice. That being said, fuck it, I'd much rather him continue to build his own legacy. I think that's, it's exactly way it. More that's, interesting,
you know. That's what I said earlier, like, I want him to keep making Terrifier movies.
Yeah,
just, you know, I haven't got fatigue of it, and I haven't got fatigue of him making it, for sure. So yeah, I just want to keep seeing it.
Definitely. So yeah, very, very enjoyable indeed. But that was our discussion of Terrifier 2. We'll take a quick break and we will be right back. So yeah, that is pretty much it for another week. But there was some television that apparently you're going to have to talk about. Because it is a big deal. Unfortunately, it's probably not one of the most talked about things, because thankfully we like to focus on good things. But it's clearly, you know, it's been part of the show since day one, which is The Walking Dead.
Never got its own episode, The Walking Dead.
Of course not, because
one of my biggest regrets. But you know, one of the movies.
I'm pretty sure I stopped watching it prior to us starting the show.
Maybe. I think, though, you know, I mean, there's still hope for the movies. You know, there's still hope.
I'll watch a movie.
Yeah, so, I mean, I saw it. Like, it's I feel so free more than anything. I feel like, you know, I haven't got to keep watching it, which is good. But the only worry is that there are
spin-offs are there currently.
Like an outrageous amount that I can't even comprehend. And that's the thing where this isn't an ending. It's just like, oh, okay, we're gonna stop calling it Walking Dead, and that means we can get these actors into their own little contracts and figure shit out. Like, it's so weird. But yeah, judging like the build up to this finale and this season, like, this was a good season finale. Like, we'll talk about series finale, but in terms of season, like, I enjoyed it that they're at this new place called Commonwealth, and, you know, the push and pull with that and different characters. Like, I found it, you know, good. And I think, but when I think of all the conflict that we've had over, so, you know, years of, you know, over a decade of Walking Dead, and I think kind of this being, you know, a show finale, there's nothing that stands out really that this conflict is any more relevant than the other. We get them having a resolution, and then this little bit at the end where everyone's like, oh, we're happy now. Zombies are still around, but we've got stuff, so we're okay, right? And I'm like, you know, oh, okay, until the next dude with an eye patch rocks up. Like, you know, it just didn't, you know, it doesn't feel like a definitive end. And the problem is, this show was designed, you know, initially for the comic book and for this TV show to be never ending. So how do you end it? You know, but the biggest gripe I have with it is really just how obscenely it sets up these spin-offs, where my understanding is that there is a Daryl spin-off that's happening, like a TV show spin-off.
Yeah, there
and
is.
So basically the last 5 minutes, Daryl just fucks off on a bike, and he's like,
I'm just going to say one thing a week, just for the listeners' sake. Yeah. Is this a spoiler alert?
Oh, yeah, this is a spoiler alert. Yeah. So yeah, like, Daryl basically just is like, yeah, I'm going to go just, like, explore on my bike. Like, I'll probably find some bros, and you'll see me on a poster coming soon. I'm like, okay, cool, Daryl. And then you kind of get the little Negan bit where he's kind of having his little bit, and he's got some sort of spin-off come in, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of outrageous. And then I was like, oh, in my head, I was like, I tell you what would be more outrageous, if we now get like 60 seconds of Rick. And, yeah, that's exactly what happened. The last 2 minutes of the show is Rick and Michonne, who we haven't seen. You know, Rick disappeared in season 9 and Michonne shortly after, and it's basically like those two writing each other a poem, basically saying that they're not going to give up looking for each other. And we know that there is a spin-off. I think it's meant to be like a mini series of those. Like, I don't know whether by mini series in terms of number of episodes, my assumption is that they'll be closer to feature length. But a short episode series of those two, like, finding each other. And it's just, do you know what I mean? That's so outrageous for a show to end and have these, like, clear, like, three different projects that they're just setting up. It's just, it is mind-blowing. And I think, like, that's exactly the intent of what Walking Dead always was. That it would be Fear the Walking Dead, you know, these spin-offs, whatever that other spin-off was that's happened, you know, New Class or whatever. You know, I can easily see them being like, oh, okay, we're going to have another spin-off where we're back with Rick's kids or whatever, and just all these different things. And so, yeah, I think in terms of season, it was good. You know, do I feel like I've seen the end of Walking Dead, seeing as I've just watched the season finale? Like, not even close. Like, and I've just got to see what speaks to me when they start to come out. You know, I think the fact that I've never disliked the characters, you know, I like Daryl, even though he is so one-dimensional, and even he's just so one-dimensional. Pretty much everyone is one-dimensional in Walking Dead, but I think I like a lot of them, and So if they can freshen them up by putting them with a new batch of people in different scenarios, like, it, you know, it can still deliver and be enjoyable, but it's just, it's such a weird thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, having this finale with all of these other things hanging over it. You know, we knew with Game of Thrones that we were getting spin-offs, but Game of Thrones ended.
Yeah. You
know, and we've now got a spin-off that's very different.
It sounds very egregious. Like, I'm surprised, but I'm also not surprised. Because, like you say, that is the MO of The Walking Dead, to create this thing that never ends. But then also, you're selling a series finale. And so the idea that, yeah, they do spend all of this time in the final moments clearly setting up spin-offs just sounds very irritating to me.
Yeah, exactly. The last 2 minutes. And also, there was just like this hilarious, like, they're doing the poem, like, talking, and like with a monologue. And it's just clips of the entire show from like season one to the end of all people that have gone. You see Glenn and you see Daryl and just all these clips. And I'm like, what are you trying to do? Like, you're really trying to like make people, you know, it felt like a trailer, you know, for a new show that hasn't been filmed yet. So it was just like this teaser of like, remember all these cool things and here's these two characters. It's crazy, but you know, it's Walking Dead, hey? What do we expect at this point other than that?
Yeah, I mean, I hope for a finality sake that this is the last time we have to talk about it, because...
It won't be.
Honestly, there's something about this show that just pisses me off. Like, even just hearing about it where I'm like, yeah, of course they did. Like, and because I really wanted you to come on here and talk about how good it was and how much you enjoyed it and how it felt like it was a finale. Because
that's what I've been waiting for 177 episodes.
Exactly. And like, I know the answer to this question for sure, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Like, was I right to stop watching this 8 years ago?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, because it's just like, I feel sorry for the people like you that put all this time in. And again, it's not like you ever hated it, because otherwise I'm sure you would have stopped watching it. But it's just a waste of time.
It has its moments, and that's the thing. It basically is what it wanted to be, where it's like, oh, zombies are cool, let's just have a never ending thing with zombies. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I love zombies. Like, okay, cool. And like, yeah, when we get cool shit, like, it's cool. But it's just so often that it's not. And I think, like, even with this, like, it was light on character deaths as well, this finale, when it felt like a serious finale. Like, we had characters littered in locations that were kind of at the point of no return. And there's one character in particular, Rosita, where, she would have been around when you watched it, but who cares? She, like, they trolled her death like 4 times, and then only for her to like reveal like towards the end, like, oh yeah, I did get bit, by the way, guys, see you later. And it was just like, it just had no impact on me, and I really like that character, but because of the way they trolled it so hard, like multiple times, I'm just like, just bringing out the clown and get him to rip some people's heads off. Do you know what I mean? Like, stop teasing us. Like, and you know, I remember like when we've had it with characters in the past, they just can't do it like quickly, because it's a zombie apocalypse. Like, guess what? They're just gonna rip you to shreds.
Yeah,
like, let that happen. Also, like the way that you can just cut off limbs. You just cut off limbs and you're fine. Like, it's become like this weird thing with Walking Dead. Like, characters get bit all the time and they just cut off a limb. Like, multiple characters now have it. And like, so
is everyone just like Fiona from Chucky?
Yeah. Yeah. It's honestly getting to that point, but then they have like these metallic ones that they somehow can craft, even though there's like, you know, no fucking resources. It's hilarious, but yeah, it's a fucking weird show, man.
Yeah, it sucks, because I remember when I first heard about the Daryl spinoff happening, part of me was like, oh, I kind of want to watch that, because I love Norman Reedus so much, and I never get to see him. But then even just thinking about this now, I'm like, I don't want to watch anything Walking Dead, and it's just a shame that he's kind of been grandfathered into this character and this contract now, that he's going to make enough money forever to never need to do anything else. Like, I was just looking at his sort of IMDb now, and it's like he almost does nothing outside of The Walking Dead. Like, well, Death Stranding is the only major thing he's done in recent years that isn't The Walking Dead. And I'm like, yeah, it just sucks, because like, a few of these other actors as well, but him in particular, I'd love to like stretch his wings and actually do shit. But it's like, no, he's just going to forever do the most low hanging fruit. Just like say, go around on his bike and killing people and being a badass. And that's it. And yeah, I'm happy for him on a personal level. But man, from an artistic mirror, I'd love to see him actually do shit that's worth watching. But yeah, that's it. I'm banning The Walking Dead now. That's the final conversation. That's the nail in the coffin. It's over.
Oh, you wait. I can't wait for the movie, and then we finally get an episode on it.
I was thinking that I'd watch a movie, but you've just reminded me of how awful the show is. And I think that's the best way for Walking Dead to go out, really. It's just a nice reminder of what could have been and what a colossal waste of time it was. But that's pretty much it for another week. I think we're back finally in the cinema for the next few weeks. At least two, yeah. We've got Bones and All this week. And then the week after that, we've got the big one, Violent Night. Should be a hell of a lot of fun. And then obviously that movie, The Menu, as well, that we both kind of wanted to see. We were going to see it this week, but I feel like we really had to do a show on Terrifier 2, you know, for our own horror merit, and I'm glad we did. But we're just running out of weeks because we've only got potentially three, maybe four, but probably three regular shows now for the rest of the year. We're fast approaching. Like, I'm already starting to think more and more about it now. About best of. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
I'm petrified.
Yeah, I was, but I think the more I thought about it, the more I really started to hone in on a few that I felt were more special. Because yeah, I was with you about a month ago where I was like, man, there's like 25 films that I feel like equal on, but I've been able to sort of change it a bit in my mind now. And I do think also like in terms
16,
of
17, I think.
I do think as far as like our individual awards, some of them are the easiest ones we've ever had to give out though. So I think those ones will be pretty easy conversations. Yeah. Like, in terms of certain acting performances, and it's probably not going to be a spoiler what's going to win best TV show. So like there's some pretty easy ones to give out this year.
I think like one year we might have to have like a bonus episode of us just recording our ramblings of how we actually get to our top list, because some of the conversations we have are hilarious and they go on for like 4 hours about like who's coming second in best TV. We're like, okay, we know what the winner is, but what's going to come second?
Yeah.
And then we don't even rank them. We don't even tend to do an order.
No, we just have two runners up. Yeah, it is more like, I remember some of those ones have just been like chaos. I remember last year being like prepared, where I was like, this is going to be my one. I will fight to the death for Psycho Goreman. But it's like you just knew, and you were just like, yeah, wherever you want it, you can have it. I was like, sweet. Straight in at number two.
Yeah. I was like, look, it can't be one. We've seen Last Night in Soho. And you were like, yeah, I agree. I'm like, okay, cool. Wherever else you want. Like, I just wasn't prepared for it to beat Soho to number one. And other than that, I was like, cool.
Yeah, it was lucky that was the one fight that I wasn't going to take to it.
Yeah, exactly. That was the only one that I was willing to like have, and other than that I was like, nah, it's fine. Like, I've heard you talk about it for so long.
It was perfect. What will it be this year? I cannot wait for that conversation. But for now, that was episode 325. Thanks for listening as always, and we'll see you again very soon.
See you later, everyone. I never could.